Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Jesus, There Is No Other Name.
So we're going to start with our Old Testament reading, taking from the book of Deuteronomy. Thank you very much, Lynn.
When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to get about, and the Lord has told me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua also will cross over before you, as the Lord promised. And the Lord will do to them as he did at Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, and you shall deal with them in full accord with the command that I have given you. Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them, and you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, every seventh year in the scheduled year of remission, during the festival of the booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at a place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, as well as the aliens residing in your towns, so that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and to observe diligently all the words of this law, and so that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we're going to move to our New Testament reading, which is taken from the epistle, the first epistle of John, chapter 2.
Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by going out, they made it plain that none of them belongs to us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and you know that no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Everyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And in this is what he has promised us, eternal life. I write these things to you concerning those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And so you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To God. Thank you very much, Marilyn and Lynn. So I thought that maybe a comment is kind of a time of transition and putting things to the open. In our Old Testament, we have Moses, who is now 120 years old, and he becomes aware of his own limitations. And here they are physical. I'm not able to go about anymore. But also he knew that God had already told him he would not be the one crossing the Jordan and getting to the promised land. And he had been training his future leader, Joshua, all those years. He had been showing him, and it now was time to commission him to make it clear that there would be a change of leadership. But so first he addressed the whole nations, saying that although there will be a new leader, and although I was your leader, it's truly God that was the leader. He himself will go with you. He has chosen Joshua to be your new leader, but you are to listen to both Joshua as God's representative and be faithful to God. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Be strong, be bold, and follow all his instructions. So the first he addressed the nations, and then he addressed Joshua in front of all the nations. And make me think of, for me, a great privilege when someone grows into a leadership role in the church, like the group and the prayer ministry team and the welcoming ministry team. It's important that I affirm them from the front of the church, commissioning them to that ministry that God has given them and asking God's blessing. And we have been and continue to be blessed by those two new ministry in our church, the prayer ministry and the welcoming ministry. Just yesterday, we were able to have a lunch with newcomers, and it was a great joy to see how God is blessing that. So it's important that we bless our leaders and that we commission them for the work that God has put on their heart. And then finally, Moses, after commissioning Joshua and telling him the same thing, to be strong, to be bold, that God will not fail him, will not forsake him, he reminds the whole nations that the covenant is about following God. And so every 7 years they were to call the whole nations. I don't know how they do it. Most probably everyone in their little villages would have someone reading out the law. The law of Moses, so that they will learn to hear it and they will learn to fear in the sense of respect, actually hearing how their law was so different from the laws of the countries and the nations around them, that they realized this is good news, this is a good law. If we live by it, it will bring good things in our land. But it was also a way to then give that law to the children, to the next generation. Every 7 years, they had to then go through the whole Mosaic law to teach. For some would be just to hear it again, but for those others might be completely new. Anyone who was born at the last time it was read would have been between 1 and 7. So quite a few would be maybe for the first time hear it in its totality. And in the church, it's good that we have this liturgy that we go through a year, and those who follow go through all the gospel every year, and every 3 years, first you have Mark and Luke and Matthew, and sometimes with John kind of peppered in and out. But there is this cycle to help us as Christians to have and to remind us of all that God has done for us and how he is calling us to live as Christians. And that's what also we do when we do morning prayer, is that we go through the scriptures and we try to unpack that and apply that for our days. In our New Testament, we have this transition where the church has been born, the church is growing, but there are divisions. And within the church, there are people who are giving the word the kind of title Antichrist. And I don't know if I grew up with this kind of Antichrist movies type, and they were usually very how would you describe the most evil type of person doing bad things to all kind of people and maybe to the church. But here the idea of Antichrist was about the attitude towards the message, or more importantly the attitude towards who Jesus is. And in those days, there were those who would start questioning, was Jesus just a normal man, maybe a big prophet, you know, an amazing teacher, but surely he wasn't God with us. And they would start teaching a different way, a different gospel, a different news. But here the author of 1 John reminds the Christian what they've come to believe. When Paul started preaching, he always preached Christ crucified, Christ risen from the dead, physical resurrection, Christ who is the only place of salvation. There is no other name in heaven and on earth by which we must be saved. It's not about following rules to earn our salvation. It is about, in faith, receiving the promise, all the promises that we have in Jesus, because he is truly one with the Father. He shares the same being than God the Father, which we do not see. And there's two kind of key passages in the New Testament that speaks about the supremacy of Christ. The first one is in Colossians that says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Not firstborn in a sense that there was a time when he was not and he had to be born, but the one that was always with God. And in his incarnation, the firstborn in a sense of those who will be resurrected, receiving new bodies. Because if it was the firstborn in a time of limit, we wouldn't have the verse 16 and 17, which he says that in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or power, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he's before all things, so he's not been created, because he's before all things, and in him all things holds together. He's the head of the church, and he's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. So this is the idea of being firstborn, which is when he conquered death, human death, so that those who believe will not go through that death anymore, but being raised to life. And in everything, he has supremacy. He has supremacy over creation, and he has supremacy over the new creation or the recreation, because he is the first who's been born into that new world that will then be manifested at the end of the time when God will raise everybody to life. And for those who've trusted him will continue to live that life in him. And in John, that's what John shows. When Jesus had conversations in the time when he was living, the religious leaders wanted to know, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we were waiting for? And he says, I did tell you, but you don't believe. But the work I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my people. You are not my sheep. My sheep do listen to my voice. They know and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand, because my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my hands, Father's hands, because I and the Father are one. And that's what this reading today is all about. There were Christians who had learned to believe in Jesus. And now there were false, we could say, prophets, false teacher that they called Antichrist, who were trying to make them believe something completely different about Jesus. And the writer says, you know the truth. No one needs to teach you. Those who have the Holy Spirit know, have their eyes open, know who Jesus is. Doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have our doubts or difficulties, or that we understand all the details, but we know deep down in our hearts that all the promises are found in Jesus. There is no other name by which we might be saved. And that's the heart of our faith. And that's what we need to proclaim, to continue to say. It is by grace that we are being saved, not by works. It is through faith. Paul speaks a lot about that when he goes back to Abraham and he says it's not circumcisions that made him receive the promise. It's when he believed, when he received the word and the promise that through him he will have a descendants and will be blessing. And it says he believed and that was reckoned for righteousness. So let's continue to pray that many other people will find in Jesus their righteousness, that they're through Jesus, they will find the freedom that we receive, freedom from the powers of sins and freedom from the fear of death, knowing that we are loved and that God wants to live in us and through us. So let's pray for the day and its task, the world and its needs, and for the church and her life. Jesus, there is no other name by which we must be saved. You have conquered sin and death. You've shown yourself to the disciples for 40 days. And last week, we've celebrated that day when you were taken into the presence of your Father. Next week, we'll remind ourselves of the gift of the Holy Spirit, your presence with us that testifies that we are yours, your sons and daughters, that no one can snatch us away. Thank you that one day you've opened our eyes and our minds and our hearts to the reality of your Son, Jesus Christ. In him we have all the promises. And so today we close ourselves again with Jesus, your Son. He is our righteousness. He is our strength. He is our friend. He is our brother. And we look forward to the day we will see him face to face. That passage, it speaks about when our trust is in your Son, we will be with no shame when he appears. For our hope is in him. And Lord, help us as a church at St. James to be faithful to that message, to stand firm, to proclaim that it is by grace that we are saved, not by works. And Holy Spirit, come and strengthen our message with your action of life and healing and transformation.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.